Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Won't dig, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Mr. Supreme, your 30-second closing statement, please.
My name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, Vermin Supreme. My name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, Vermin, Vermin Supreme. And you can vote, and you can vote, and you can vote for me for president if you want to. And my name is Vermin, and okay, thanks very much for coming out today. Oh, one more thing. Jesus told me to make Randall Terry gay with magic sprinkle.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Supreme. Thank you. All right.
He's turning gay.
All right.
Gay.
Okay. Okay.
Woo!
Okay.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch Room Rich Radio Program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985.
Oh, man. This morning has been awesome. I've been going through with it being Election Day and just sifting through some of the great candidates that we have had on our show. And I'm going to throw the whole kit and caboodle out there this morning.
Cool.
It has been just between some of the great debates in Vermont and Idaho and New Hampshire. And one of the greatest theme songs ever for a candidate, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy Moise. Go get him, Rudy. This has been a joyful morning going through some of the older audio this morning.
And Lockhart has got some campaign ads that, a lot of them involving guns. Like holding them and pointing them at things.
Oh, yeah. Guns and the South. A lot of people running on just the platform of, I got a gun and I can shoot it.
Yeah.
Hope you like that. Look at me. I got guns.
A lot of shooting. But last night, I shouldn't say last night, just a mere 2.5 hours ago, this occurred on the overnight show that is here at this radio station. Amy Lawrence out.
What time did this happen?
3:30.
Okay, so 3:30.
Zach Gelb is the gentleman's name, subbing in for Amy Lawrence.
Okay.
Let's go to Scott in Massachusetts. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just had a question, and I wanted to make one point.
Yep.
My question is, do you think Dak's taken a step back this year? And my point is...
From what, at the start of his career?
Yeah, I mean...
Absolutely. I don't think he was ever as great as what he did in his first year. I think he's an above-average quarterback. He's a game manager. And to me, when everything goes right for Dak Prescott, he's not turning over the football, and he throws, like, in the 220 range. He's not terrible. But to me, he's above average.
Yeah, exactly. And my point was just that Sarge Riley sucks.
Who?
Sarge Riley of 98.5 Sports.
All right. Well, we're a national show, so I don't really know him that well. But congratulations, if that's your point. If that's what you're staying up at 3:30 a.m. Eastern time to make, then go ahead if someone on local radio really did annoy you that much.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I mean, we got a new record.
I want to stop it for a second. You're filling in on an overnight shift Let's get out our paychecks and see who's...
Well, I think more than anything, it's like, what is the reverb tube that you were standing in, first of all? And why the puker voice?
I don't know. He's screaming and yelling, but I mean, he's a big-time national show filling in from 2 to 6 in the morning.
I guarantee you more people know who Sarge is than know who this guy is.
Absolutely.
By the way... They called in and said something about me. If someone really knows you that much in national or local radio... Go ahead. I wonder what that guy did. Maybe I missed something. I wonder what that guy did, though, to really annoy the caller. So, hey, if that's what you want to do, I love 98.5 The Sports Hub. They're a great affiliate of ours.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I just got, you know what? Props to that guy, though. That is the earliest.
I'm impressed.
You issued the challenge yesterday, and look at the TNR fans. They responded. I didn't think it was going to be topped. I thought 4:30 was going to be the earliest. Now we have a 3:30.
Yep.
AM Sarge call. Not too bad. That will not be topped.
Boing.
What an annoying guy. That national show. All right, dude. You're doing... Are you even in studio? Who is this person?
He hosts the overnight... I had to do some research on this. He hosts the overnights on the weekends. He's 2 to 6 in the morning, Friday night into Saturday, Saturday into Sunday. So when Amy is off, he fills in during the week.
So he works 2 days a week.
Nationally, I don't know what he does for... I assume he has a full-time radio gig somewhere else.
So because he was very dismissive of doing a show locally in Boston. He was very dismissive of that, as if he's some kind of... You know, I mean, there's national shows. I mean, he's right up there with Limbaugh and Stern. I mean, you know, he's got a whole national audience at his beck and call.
Does that really sound that echoey on the air? Like, it sounds like he's standing in, like, an empty garage... During that show.
I don't know. Everyone they put on there sucks. And, oh, my God, that's so annoying. This is a national show. Oh, is it? You're on from 2 to 6 in the morning. Oh, boy.
Well, congrats to that guy. That's awesome. 3:30, making the call. God bless you.
2 to 6 in the morning. Filling in. Big shot. I don't know about local radio. This is a national program. Okay. Douchebag. Good for you.
I like how they're not hanging up immediately, too. They're explaining. Yeah, yeah.
Because he's sitting
like
there.
Riley. It's not very good.
Because he's sitting there desperate for phone calls.
That's the thing. Is that if you really want to talk, go overnight. Because they are just sitting there praying for a phone light to just a little blue light to light up. Like, I can speak with somebody. It's another voice. Thank goodness.
Do you think Dak Prescott is not as good as his friend? I know I'm not a good person! Absolutely not. I have a very strong opinion on this. I'm talking loud.
It's like having a conversation with a chainsaw in an empty garage.
You know how, I know? I'm definitive. I have a definitive take on this. Now, slow down. Absolutely not. He is not. That's right. Coming out hot. You know, I'm not faking it. I'm talking loud. Nick, go ahead.
You know, that guy that called Amy Lawrence show sounded an awful lot like a normal version of that train wreck Scott there.
I don't think train wreck Scott's got him in him.
No. He also didn't ask, what are you doing?
Go ahead.
He has a wife and kids, like you said. I mean, he goes to work every day, it sounds like, when he's calling you guys. It sounds an awful lot like it might be him.
I don't believe he goes to work every day, but he does. He would have given you some Catskills humor there.
Sure. And they would have asked you, hey, what are you doing? At some point, he would have asked that. The best is when he says he has material that he is prepared, and then within 30 seconds, he's run out. He goes, hey, how you doing? What's going on, guys?
John, go ahead.
Hey, I think you guys are... Couple things. I think you're being a little oversensitive about this guy. Yeah, I think he's just pointing out he's a national show and probably nobody knows who Sarge is. And the second thing is, Sarge sucks. Have a good day.
I guess Sarge is none too happy about any of this.
Well, all I know is that 6:09 is not even going to get you in the top 10 as far as earliest Sarge calls. We're starting to move out of that stratosphere. Like, you, even at the beginning of the show, you're not even in the running.
Bar's being raised.
Oh, without a
doubt. Bar's being raised.
Well, 3:30, I mean.
Yeah. That one's going to be tough to top. You really got to want it bad now.
So would be like 12 o'clock? Would midnight be the technically the earliest?
Well, you can't do any better than that.
With Pharrell on the bench, if you can't do it for Al.
Someone call Pharrell.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Sarge does suck.
I'd like to hear what Pharrell has to do with that call.
I feel like Pharrell would be like, yeah, oh, yeah, we all know about that, Sarge.
Yeah. Sarge sucks. Yeah. You're the man that ran. Sarge's not the man.
Let's go to Scott in Massachusetts. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just had a question, and I wanted to make one point.
Yep.
My question is, do you think Dak's taken a step back this year? And my point is...
From what, the start of his career?
Yeah, I mean...
Absolutely. I don't think he was ever as great as what he did in his first year.
He's very passionate and loud.
Yeah.
A train wreck Scott is on. He is going to explain himself. Hello, train wreck Scott.
Hey! Fred, Rich, John, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, train wreck.
Hey, I'm not going to ask you what I ask you all the time because you called me out on it. I'm not going to ask you what you're doing because I know you're at work.
I like it.
No, I'm trying to get better at this. I really appreciate you picking up the phone from the bottom of my heart. So what happened? Did Amy get fired?
No.
She's got a day all off, right. I think, yeah.
You're right, though. He did sound like he was in a shed with a chainsaw. You're right. That echo is unbelievable.
All right, train wreck Scott.
Thank you, train wreck Scott.
You went from asking how you doing to explaining how he wasn't going to do it anymore.
To repeating what we had just said.
Right, and then he repeated the thing that you had said.
He was warming up, man. He didn't give him a chance. We need to get train wreck Scott on stage. Like, it's like, you know,
give him an opportunity.
Like an open mic night.
Just to get into his stuff.
Right? Yeah, no one hits the stage rolling all the time.
They do. That red light would be on before he had gotten even a premise out there. It's like, you got 7 minutes. He'd be like, okay, hey. You know, how about this stage? I appreciate you guys having me on. Super nice.
How you guys doing? What you eating? And then it would be over.
two drink minimums, huh? what drink are you guys on?
Man.
Yes, it's an exciting time.
Well, Vermin Supreme actually reached out a little while back. I wonder what he's up to. Today is the day that Vermin Supreme, if you don't know Vermin Supreme, he's been on our show before. He is the gentleman that you see, all over the place. He's been in Washington, D.C. at election days. He basically, where the cameras are, that's where Vermin is. And he's the guy who basically looks like Gandalf the Wizard, but he wears a boot on his head. And doesn't smell great. He came in studio and he sprinkled like some sort of pixie dust all over us. He was here with Love 22 in one of the weirder in studio appearances from anybody. Now, what was weirder? Love 22 and Vermin Supreme together in studio, or Rock and Roll Mike and Guy from Machine?
Rock and Roll Mike and Guy from Machine by far.
Well, then Love 22?
Okay, no, because here's the thing.
Love 22 came out with all of his foldouts.
Love 22 is absolutely legit. He loves the number 22. When he was staying at the hotel, something with 22.
He had to stay, like when he stayed at the hotel, he had to stay with a number that added up to 22.
Right. So Vernon Supreme knows what he's doing.
Sure.
Now, is he mentally, is he someone who you'd hire for a job? Probably not. But
he's like a performance artist.
Yes, he's a performance artist. By the way, the day that Vernon, I was just reminded, the day Vernon Supreme and Love 22 are here, Mingles vacuumed the studio and all the power shut off.
Oh, that's it blew like the circuit.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right, because of all the pixie dust or whatever he had thrown in here.
Yeah, so, no, Love 22's on this show, because P&P is the worst guest we've ever had on, but on this show, particular show, it goes Rock and Roll Mike is the most disturbing, and then Love 22, and then there's a huge fallout. Because the guy from Machine is
well, Love 22 wasn't disturbing. He was just strange.
Oh, I found him disturbing.
He was just definitely strange.
Just because he had so much crap with him, and I didn't want to touch any of it. And remember how long that was in charge? And then he just kept mailing Chachi stuff like over and over and
$22 bills with his face on it.
Yeah, like in just like ideas.
That was a debate, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was between
presidential debate.
And Vermin Supreme versus Love 22.
Keller was in here, right?
Oh, that's right. Keller moderated
the whole thing. That's right. Had Keller in. I remember that.
That's right.
Yeah,
like it almost like was edging on getting really bad because Love 22. Was just so into the number 22. All right. What are we going to talk about next?
Oh, well, let's talk about Celtics, Bruins, and the Patriots. Some good news for the Patriots.
And how about Tuukka Rask after looking like everything was awful, starting about as bad as you could? He looked pretty damn good last night. Pretty damn good.
I think Fred and I are going to disagree on that.
After one bad goal, and it was really
No, it was. It was one of the worst goals he's ever given up. But after that, I'm not sure that had much to do with Rask at all.
It had nothing to do
with it had a lot to do with the defense
you
in front of him.
You guys just don't want to say something nice about Tuukka Rask.
That's exactly
it. You're haters with a Z.
Stuck the landing.
When
good job.
And he deserves praise. Believe me, he'll get it. All right, so we'll be right back.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go-tos. Participation may vary. The Celtics drop their second in a row, and Kyrie pulls a nutty.
Monty Morris penetrates, kicks out to the left side for another three by Lyles. Lyles has 11 off the bench.
Everything that Morris has been doing for you, Lyles has come in.
85-81, 91-85, Celtics down six.
Yep, after giving up another lead in Saturday night's game against the Pacers, the Celtics do it again, this time an 18-point lead blown against the Denver Nuggets. Celtics lose 115-107. Whereas the Celtics assassin on Saturday was Victor Oladipo, last night it was Jamal Murray who could not be stopped.
Jamal Murray looking for his first career 40-point game, and he's got it as he gets to the left elbow.
Lost Marcus then in the shuffle.
15 of 23 from the floor for Jamal Murray. 104-96.
They couldn't do anything to stop Jamal Murray last night. No matter what Brad Stevens threw at him, he was hitting threes, finishing at the rim, and just having his way with the Celtics D all the way to a career-high 48 points. So in the final seconds with the game put away, Jamal pulled a massive no-no and tried to go for 50 at the buzzer, leaving Kyrie Irving none too pleased.
Well, if you're Murray, do you try to score here?
Oh, I guarantee he will.
No.
Nope. Murray offensive end, now he'll pull away. He was trying to score in that last possession, but he won't here. He will. He'll launch the three. It is no good. And that will be remembered by the Celtics.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray going for the free three in the 50-point game, and the Celtics are barking at it, and he's barking back, and now we got some issues here after the game.
Oh, Kyrie is saying right now. What?
Kyrie has some words for young Jamal Murray. There are ways to act, and there are ways not to. Kyrie launches the basketball into the crowd. I don't know if that's a souvenir, but it's going to cost Kyrie some money as he is escorted off the floor. The final score, Denver 115, Boston 107.
Yeah, after that, Kyrie took the ball that Jamal may or may not want to have kept for his career high and threw it into the crowd. So when asked about it afterwards, here's what Kyrie had to say about the situation.
You know, he was a primary concern tonight, and, you know, he made us pay in certain instances of just making some tough shots and some tough layups, and, you know, but the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bullshit move like that, so threw it in the crowd.
And then Jamal Murray, on the other hand, says, hey, I wasn't trying to be an a-hole, I promise.
I was having a lot of fun. I think my emotion took over, as it normally does when I get going like that. You know, no disrespect to the Boston organization, the Boston fans for the last shot. I just had in my mind I was going for 50, and I think everybody kind of understood that's what I was trying to do. I really wasn't meaning it, and, you know, disrespect, and, you know, I know half the team over there, so no hard feelings.
My opinion on stuff like that hasn't changed, and that is if you don't want him to do it, stop him. Then stop him from doing it. And I know it's a massive a-hole move, but you know what?
It's one of those unwritten rules.
I understand that, but then stop him from scoring.
Well, you don't think you're going to have to stop him from scoring. Most people, I assume it's known around the NBA, most people don't try and do that.
Yeah.
You scored 48, you won the game. They're going to leave you alone. You're up by 8 points. There's no reason to do that kind of stuff.
I just love how Grandy and Max were, he's not going to do it. Oh, gee, he did it. All right. Well,
No, Grandy was sure he was going to.
Yeah. No, Max, but then they're like, okay, he's not going to do it. But then they're like, oh, yeah, it looks like a nine. And then he's like, yeah, screw you guys. And he went up for the three, which is pretty, I mean, listen, it's enough to piss you off, but I've said it before. I don't think you should do it, but you got really no right to bitch about it. Stop him from scoring.
Well, the point is they didn't think they'd have to. That's the thing.
Well, the 48 before that, I think that they...
But the game is over, Rich. It's done.
Understood.
I mean, if Denver's up eight, there's like 2 seconds left. You don't think you're really going to have to guard anyone at that point.
But it's also different than the things in baseball, like bunting when you have a huge lead and stealing when you have a huge lead, and that
there are things that are just like, what are you doing? Like, why do we have to go through this rigmarole? I don't think shooting, trying to get 50 with time running out is nearly as disrespectful as what they get in trouble with in baseball.
They were up by what, 7 at that point?
8.
Yeah,
that was the final score.
Yeah, the game was over. So, I mean, they were up by 8. And, yeah. I mean, either way, it makes for a good soundbite afterwards. So,
oh, sure.
Good for Kyrie Irving. And now, do you keep that ball? I mean, it's not like you just won a championship or anything. It's just like you almost scored 50.
I mean, it's his second year. I don't
think that would have been a ball you would have kept.
Well, see, I wouldn't think so either, but I'm assuming that's why Kyrie did it. The
basketballs on the mantle are long gone for Jamal Murray.
Well, Devin Booker kept his. I mean, that was, what, a 60-point game?
70.
Boy, it was 70.
He scored 70, but Phoenix lost that day. That's the thing. Everyone forgets. Devin Booker scored 70 points on the Celtics, and by the way, I watched that game. The last 10 minutes... The Celtics were up by a lot. The last 10 minutes, it was obvious Phoenix was going to lose. So the Suns just kept feeding him the ball he scored 70, but the Celtics won the game.
If I score 70 points, I don't care if we got beat by 100. I'm keeping the
ball.
That's
true. That's different than 48.
Well, that's why I was wondering when he chucked it into the stands. Like, is because you're going to keep a 48-point souvenir?
I think it might have been you didn't get 50, so you don't need this. And throw
it 50 is a nice round number. I kind of understand that.
Yeah, but I don't know if he would have kept it. I mean, you're kind of selling your career short if this is going to be the highlight of your career.
I know.
Second year, this is as good as it's going to get. Give me that basketball.
Right. Yeah, well, the good news is that the Celtics should be able to right the ship on Thursday when they take on the Phoenix Suns, and you can hear that right here at 9 p.m. on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Well, the Packers-Patriots game, we all knew that it was going to be a ratings juggernaut, and it absolutely was. It delivered the best Week 9 overnight rating in the 13-year history of NBC's Sunday Night Football. It was also the best ratings for a primetime show on any network since March. And is up, by the way, this was included in the press release too, up 63% from last year's Week 9 game. In fairness, that was Oakland versus Miami. So
must have been the build up. Must have been all the commercials leading up to the game.
I guess
still
so.
Standing, by the way, the show in March that was the biggest.
Was that the still standing reunion?
Yes, it was the Tim Allen vehicle.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, on the Monday Night Football pregame show, by the way, sorry to digress here. Booger McFarland, he had some horrible pinky injury, correct? Have you seen? Okay, because last night was the first night I noticed this. His finger, like right in the middle, like at the first knuckle, like it's going east, and then the rest of it's going south. Like it's almost like it's more like a 45-degree angle on Booger McFarland's pinky, and it was the most distracting thing. Once you see it, it's like the click on CBS. Once you see Booger McFarland's weird-ass pinky, you can't ignore it.
No, I'm sure that doesn't sound unreasonable.
Yeah, so if you Google the photo, I took one last night. I'll actually post it because it was freaking me out so much. But my man's got like a 45-degree finger bend that is
So what's the deal? He's got like a little rascal with a...
it's a throne. It's not a... He's like... Okay. He's elevated.
So he can't move around.
No. He is like a lifeguard at the pool. He's like Mandy Pepperidge or whatever from The Sandlot. He just sits and overlooks the... He just overlooks the thing, his lair. But for a while, he had this huge screen behind him where the people who paid for good seats couldn't see. They finally taken that down.
See, I had read something and I was under the assumption that he could scoot around the field if he wanted to.
Well, that would be awesome. They should just give that to Bob Wiley.
So he could get a better... Yeah.
How great would it be if he was on Monday Night Football?
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. I'm up here. He just did concessions.
He just just went from one stand to the next.
Yeah, he goes, soft pretzels,
The offensive line coach for the Cleveland Browns, who does magic in the big stomach. Yeah.
Hey, what you saying about the soft pretzels? Dip them in cheese, then pour some chili on them.
Just check out him during the game when the game starts to suck.
Hey, I'm on my 10th hot dog. Look out now. I gotta make some weight.
Okay, all right. Well, they wouldn't film when he's in the bathroom, I think.
Please bring the camera. Please the camera. I want you to see what ends up in it.
I don't know if that would improve the broadcast.
It's pretty impressive. Could you please get a plumber in here right now? Bobby just made
Bobby made a mistake.
Okay, all right, we'll stop that there, Will. They did say on the pregame.
Okay.
Adam Schefter provided some updates on Sony Michel and Rob Gronkowski.
There's little blood.
Oh, jeez. That's something spicy, did you?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, jalapeno pie.
Right. Spicy little thorn.
They don't agree with my stomach.
Okay, all right, Bob Wiley. Doing your food review and your rascal.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's a guy that you
got. I'll stop it there. But they said that Adam Schefter said that it's been a season-long question with Rob Gronkowski, who's really been week to week with back and ankle injuries. But keep in mind that after playing the Titans on Sunday, the Patriots have a bye. So if they rest Gronkowski this week, that would give him 2 weeks for the rest of the rest for the price of one. They said as for Sony Michel, he's getting closer to playing, and it sounds like he's likely to play against Tennessee on Sunday if he has a good week of practice. So fairly positive news for Mr. Michel, maybe not as much for Rob Gronkowski.
All right, we will talk about what happened last night in the Garden as the Bruins took on Dallas, who aren't very good. We will discuss that. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else happened last night?
Well, after Tuukka Rask gave up one of the softest goals you'll ever see, you thought it just might be another one of those nights.
And skating it up the left side, here's Foxo over the line left side. To the near circle. Shoots. He scores.
He wasn't even ready for it.
Radek Foxa floated one underneath Rask's glove. Shorthanded. The Stars with a 1-0 lead over the Bruins.
Listen to how just unprepared Surratt was to call that goal.
I would have loved to have heard Beers' reaction to that, too.
Well, apparently there wasn't a lot of one, but I was watching it on television. A couple things.
Oh.
A, that apparently wasn't considered a shot on a scoring chance. Apparently, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I was unaware of this, that I just assumed if you scored a goal, it was a scoring chance. But apparently that was from such a stupid area of the ice.
He was between the circle and the boards.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and now Krug's saying he tipped it, which is, I don't think, the case. And then
They showed it several times last night. I don't remember tipping it.
From that far away, it shouldn't matter if he tipped it or not.
That's the best point of all. I mean, honestly.
And so, and the second thing was, Brickley was like, a little later in the first, was like, if I'm Dallas, I'm shooting from everywhere.
Yeah.
And Edwards could not wait to get off that topic. He didn't want anything to do with that. Well, he just was like, no siree, can't say anything negative about the team.
Well, Tuukka didn't let anything in after that, stopping the next 34 shots. And after a goal by Pasta, the game heads into overtime, and here comes Marchand.
High slot, Krug, one-timer deflected, and Hudobin the save. Oh, a quick whistle from the referee.
Oh.
Who thought the puck was frozen.
That's right, they negated that goal, and then overtime, take it away.
Protects in, banked up top for Krug. 35 seconds left. High slot. Krejci right of the net. Marchand shoots. He scores! The Boston Bruins patiently work it down low. Brad Marchand right of the net from a deep angle. He sizzled one in. A 5-on-3 power play goal in overtime. And the Bruins victorious 2-1 over the Dallas Stars.
Yep, 31 seconds left in overtime and a two-man advantage. Marchand sends Tyler Seguin and the boys home with an L, 2-1, the final score. Here is Marchand afterwards about the game winner.
Yeah, just getting lucky. You know, it's nice to finally get the back of the net there. You know, it would have been tough if we ended up going to a shootout, but we're happy to get that one.
So Tuukka Rask was asked about splitting time with Halak after yesterday's game, and he said this.
Yaros played unbelievable, so that's, you know, that's how it goes. You know, then if you're a hot goalie like that, and you got to let him play. I totally get it, and it hasn't affected me mentally really that much. You just try to practice hard, and it's going to be a busy week this week, so I think both of us are going to see a lot of action, so go day by day.
Mm-hmm. Why hasn't it affected you mentally? It should!
Well, I mean, it should! What are you going to say? Like, I've lost my mind.
I'm rattled.
No, I should say, well, he makes me want to play better. Something like that. It should affect you.
By the way, Sagan on pace for 18 goals this season.
Sagan is scoreless in his last 11 games, including last night.
He's on pace for 18 goals. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, steak and eggs, guys.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Yeah, Rich, how about that Tuukka Rask last night? That game should have never went to overtime, number one. whether it was deflected or not, that puck was so far out. I agree with Hardy. You're supposed to adjust and make the save.
Hey, how are you?
That is just ridiculous. And despite the fifth line for Dallas wearing the, you know, the striped jerseys again last night, the Bruins prevailed. But, I mean, you blew the whistle on that loose puck. That was ridiculous, too. Then when is the NHL going to hold officials accountable? Maybe start docking pay or start, you know, not letting them ref games, because it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, the officiating hasn't been great. Just ask Hardy.
or John Waller.
Either or. It's a compliment. I'm taking it
no,
that way.
I mean, Rask is definitely fighting it right now.
Rask was not good.
No.
Again, it was not good. The defense was fantastic. Again, though, nobody other than the top line can score goals. Bruins, I think, are second in the NHL in scoring defense and goals per game. And once again, you have Marchand and Pastrnak scoring the two goals for the Bruins.
And you're right. The first line is everything. But, I mean, they are also the biggest parts of the power play. And then a 5-on-3, I mean, chances are one of those guys is going to score. But, they, as has been the entire season, if one of those guys gets hurt, they're screwed.
I want to get back to Rask. Rask, it isn't affecting me mentally. Well, A, you gave up one of the five softest goals in your career last night. And B, it should bother the crap out of you that the head coach wants to sit you down for a guy who's making less than half of what you make.
But what's he going
to
say?
And he signed as a free agent. I mean, it wasn't like people were knocking down his door to sign him, and he is taking time away from you. This should piss you off.
Sure, but what's he going to say? Honestly, what's he going to do?
Halak is playing really, really well. Makes me want to play better.
He said that.
I have to up my game. I'm the starting goaltender of this team. I want to play more. Yeah. That's what I want him to say.
Well, the Bruins' four-game homestand continues Thursday against the Canucks before Toronto and Vegas come to town. That's a nice little lineup to see. And remember, you can hear all those games right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Well, if we learned anything from yesterday's Monday Night Football, it's that Bill Belichick's game plan for this week is probably written on a giant whiteboard at Foxborough that simply says, target Malcolm Butler.
Prescott gets the snap. Cox his arm, throws to the near side, caught by Cooper on the near side to the goal line. Pylon, he crosses, he's in, touchdown Dallas. And the newest Cowboy, Amari Cooper, caught it, spun over the pylon, near side. Lassos the 4-yard touchdown pass. The Cowboys cash in on the Tennessee fumble and go up 6-0 mid-stages first quarter.
Anybody want to hear Malcolm Butler get burned again?
Sure.
Yeah, why the hell not?
It's second down and 10 from the 23 of Tennessee. Shotgun snap to the Cowboy quarterback. He looks and throws an arching spiral pass. He's got him. Over the shoulder catch. Wide open to the 2. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Allen Hurns. 23-yard touchdown pass by Cowboy quarterback Dak Prescott.
And by the way, the Titans won, and I'll give them credit because their first three possessions, they turned over the ball on all three possessions. I mean, they looked awful, and they were able to bounce back. That being said, Malcolm Butler sucks. Like, this year, he is awful. And I haven't watched, like, a full game of the Titans, but I got to watch about a half of last night. He doesn't even look like he wants to be there. Like, there was one play where it looks like he just fell down and almost like an Albert Haynesworth, didn't even want to get back up again to finish the play. As a matter of fact, you know, he got $61 million. 24 of that was guaranteed. But he has the third most tackles on the team, which, think about that. That's not a good thing if you're a corner. That means quarterbacks are targeting him with success, meaning that receivers are catching the ball on him and he's forced to make the tackle afterwards. Pro Football Focus, as a matter of fact, ranks Butler as the 82nd best cornerback in the NFL with just one interception on the season, and he is the Titans' number one option right now. So all the people who are yelling about Bill Belichick benching him, maybe you don't need really need to yell that much anymore.
Hang on. Obviously.
Well, you can say, though,
that's a
he might
extreme.
Have. But you could say he might have known something about his attitude. Like, maybe once he got paid, they thought he would stop performing.
I think Butler's a little bit better than that. I do. I don't think he's one of the worst defensive backs in the league. Well, he didn't go from good to terrible inside of 9 months.
He did.
I disagree.
I mean, statistically, he did.
Okay, statistically, maybe, but different defense, different coaching staff. I think there are mitigating factors.
Okay, I don't care how bad your coaching staff is. You don't go from being a very good back who's going to get $61 million to being the 82nd best.
Yeah, that Pro Football Focus stuff, though, and I agree, he hasn't been very good, but the Pro Football Focus rankings are very annoying.
because they're based on a lot of statistics and quotations that are like observed.
However, if it is about effort, and it does seem to be like that with Malcolm Butler, rest assured he's going to have a massive game this week. When the Titans play the Patriots, this is going to be his I told you so game. Right. So he's, I mean, if there's any game this season that he's going to give a rat's ass, it's this one. And so watch, all of a sudden he's going to turn it around in one game.
By the way, you know what team's not good? Dallas. Not good.
No, they're not good at
all. Not good at all. As a matter of fact, Marcus Mariota on a quarterback draw scored a touchdown. It was a Dallas linebacker sitting in the middle of the field waiting for him, and Mariota ran right at him. And the Cowboys linebacker pushed him.
Yeah.
Just pushed him.
How funny.
Pushed him aside. Here, go that way. I'm not tackling you. And he waltzed into the end zone.
How funny is it going to be if Garrett keeps his job? Because Jones has said he's not firing him during the season.
Yeah, I know.
Good for him. Dallas technically could win that division because no one in the division is good yet, although Philadelphia is heading in the right direction. But they're on their way to another 7-9 season. Yeah. And I don't understand why Jason Garrett still has a job. He has to have photographs of Jerry Jones in compromising positions.
No one understands why Garrett. Maybe because he lays down and he doesn't know, Jones doesn't know if he's going to be able to find another Huckleberry that will let him do whatever he wants.
Man.
All right, we'll return in just a moment.
Thatcher and Rich.
I don't see any lights. I don't know what time I have.
It's actually time to move on.
Like they were going to say, no, keep going, please. Expound upon that.
With such great sayings as, hey, diddle, diddle, right up the middle.
Yes, he likes to take things head on unless he sees another way to go. Well, speaking of diddle, diddle, we had a woman. She was full aware that she was calling the show. She had things to say, and we liked her so much. Here she is. All right, Dilly, hello. Dilly, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
You're on the air, Dilly. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
24, 25, 55.
Sure.
9, 60.
Well, I'll raise you too. Oh,
what is happening?
You raise two?
I race everything. Snails, hobbits.
What you got going on today, Dilly?
I was just calling in on... I just missed Troy Brown.
Yeah.
And I had a question for him.
Okay, what was the question?
Did he have 6 plays in 10 minutes?
5, 15, 75.
Yeah. It was more like 9 meals in 20 minutes.
Dilly, what you like doing for fun?
I'll have to call you back.
Why, it's too crazy?
What's your favorite cartoon, Dilly?
No, I don't want that coming back.
Yeah, they come back. Yeah, I know.
It'll we'll crush you in the end.
Dilly, where'd you lose your virginity?
Why would you want to know that?
I don't know. I just want to get to know Dilly.
I'm not Dilly.
Oh, yeah? What? Who are you?
Well, I'm not Dilly.
Are you Maud?
No.
Hildegard?
No.
Jeremiah?
No.
Who are you?
Listen, I better go.
All right, Dilly.
I'm not Dilly.
I know. Good luck on that case today.
So you said 9 and 20?
Dilly, you've called 12,000 times?
No.
All right, Dilly, yeah. So what do you say, 920?
No, he said 6 and 10.
Yeah, and I go half dozen of the other. Baker's dozen, who cares, you know?
Good
luck on that case today. I'll say this to you, and then I want a response, and then I'll let you go 4.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The number 4.
Okay.
What do you think?
for what?
I don't want to dilly-dally. You love that one, don't you?
Little play on words here.
Yeah, a little play on words.
What do these numbers mean to you?
515-75.
I couldn't hear it early.
Okay, Dilly.
All right.
You have a wonderful day. Good luck with the surgery. I'm hoping that your hands are stable enough.
12,000 times?
You know what I'll tell you.
Numbers.
I'll go 12,001. And a cloud. What do I have to do to improve? Ice cream sundaes? All right, Dilly. Anything else you want to say?
Dilly.
Dilly. Again with the Dilly.
Dilly, that's how you're... What's your name?
Debbie.
Oh, Debbie.
Okay.
Okay, Debbie. All right. Well, all I'll say is this is 6-tree water. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. All right, Dilly.
Dilly, what do you think of Sarge?
What do I think of Sarge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I better go. Bye-bye.
All right, Dilly.
All right, thank you, Sarge. Dilly, whatever your name is.
515-75.
We'll return.
Touchdown score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub.